I think this is a really helpful passage to understand some important things about human nature and about the mercy of our God in Christ. So it's Mark chapter 11, and we'll start at verse 27 and go through to verse 33, which is the end of the chapter. So this is Mark chapter 11, and this is the word of God. And they came again to Jerusalem, that's Jesus and his disciples. And while Jesus was walking in the temple, the high priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him, and they said to him, "By what authority do you do these things? And who gave you this authority that you might do them?" In answer, Jesus said to them, "I shall also ask you one thing, and if you answer me, I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it of human origin? Answer me." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we were to say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then do you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, they feared the people, for everyone held that John was a true prophet." So they answered him, saying, "We do not know." And Jesus said in reply, "Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things." Pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you particularly for this passage, where our Lord Jesus Christ shows his authority and brings people to confront their sinfulness. And we ask, Lord God, that now you would show us the great authority of our Lord Jesus, that you will confront us with our sinfulness and show us the hope that only Jesus can bring. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this conversation, as short as it seems to have been, happened in the temple. And a few significant things happened just the day before this conversation. Because you might remember that on the week before Jesus suffered, he came into Jerusalem with a great crowd of people. He was riding on a donkey. And people were saying, "Hosanna," in other words, salvation. And here is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, talking about the Lord Jesus. And when Jesus went into the temple the previous day, he found money changers in the temple courts. He found cows and pigeons and lambs and goats. And people were making a profit off the sale of these animals, off the changing of the money, so that they could enrich themselves in a place where God had said that this would be a house of prayer for all nations. And Jesus said that you have made it a den of thieves, referring, sadly, to the religious leaders, because they were skimming off the cream from the top of all of this. They were implicit and explicitly gaining from this profanation. Desecrating the work in the temple by this buying and selling. So Jesus had cleared the temple, and the religious leaders then started to talk seriously about taking Jesus out. They wanted to kill him. They were plotting secretly to kill Jesus. This is related in the passages just before this conversation occurred. Another interesting thing happened just before this conversation. Jesus and his disciples were walking to the temple, to Jerusalem, and Jesus saw a fig tree. And he said, "Well, let's see if there's any fruit on this fig tree." And he found none. And he cursed the fig tree, and the fig tree died. The problem with the fig tree was that it was all leaf and no fruit. And the picture seems to be that the temple services were going on, but there was no heart for what God intended by it. You might remember that at the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus said, "You destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days." In other words, the temple was a picture of who Jesus is and what he would do. He will be the propitiation for our sins. He will die in the place of sinners, just as the lambs and the goats and the bulls were killed so that people could hear that their sins were forgiven. Bulls and goats never saved anybody, but they were pointing forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus. So Jesus has come into his temple. And as he came into the temple, as he was walking around the temple, the high priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him and said, "What are your credentials? Who do you think you are?" Essentially, by what authority, or that what is your authority? In other words, what's your job that allows you to do this? And who gave you this authority? In other words, what's the source of your authority? Because the religious leaders believed that they were the source of authority, and that only those people that they approved of could do things religiously in Israel. So he was asked for his credentials. Who do you think you are? How did you get this job? Well, see, Jesus could have pointed to the Old Testament passages that he spoke about earlier. This is the house of God. It's to be a house of prayer for all the nations, and you've made it into a den of robbers. He could have said that. That's the Old Testament authority for saying what they were doing was wrong. But he'd done more than that. He chased them out. He'd told them to get lost. That requires some authority. He might have said, as he had on other occasions, "I've come to do the will of my Father. Everything I say, everything I do," Jesus said, "I've been given by the Father, and that's what I'm doing." But he didn't do that either. He could have done that, but he didn't. He was a good teacher, our Lord Jesus, and he gave the religious leaders a puzzle so they could work out the answer for themselves. It's always good to get people to work things out for themselves. So this is what he did. He said, "The baptism of John, is it from heaven or is it of human origin? Answer me, and then I'll tell you." Just on side, notice how unintimidated Jesus is. These were the big guns of his nation. They'd asked him an intimidating question, and Jesus isn't intimidated. He says, "I'll give you a condition. You give me an account, and if you do that, I'll give you an answer." He has great authority. He's acting with great authority. And the religious leaders weren't stupid people. They'd been to the best schools. They were highly intelligent. They've done their logic. They know how to reason. So they set to work on this problem that Jesus had given them. The baptism of John. Was it from heaven or was it of human origin? Well, at first they said, "Well, if we say it's from heaven, just say, if we say it's from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him?" Our religious leaders. If God had spoken by John, they should have listened to John. So what did John say, particularly, while he was baptizing people? He preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So John was all about the sinfulness of people and their need to be cleansed from that sin. And they need to change their thinking in order for that to happen. They need to think about themselves and about God differently in order to come to this forgiveness of sins. John the Baptist also called these religious leaders the offspring of snakes. In other words, they were included in that group of people who needed forgiveness for their sins. That's probably a reason why they didn't like John terribly much, but let's keep on going. He also said that he was preparing the way of the Lord. The God who had spoken in the Old Testament was coming to his people. He was coming into his temple. This great one was coming, and John said, be ready for him. He also said that this one who is coming was greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist wasn't fit to undo his shoelaces. He wasn't fit to be the lowest slave of this person who was coming. He also said that this Lord from heaven would not baptize with water, but with the Holy Spirit. He will deal with sin completely. Not by washing the outside, but by cleaning away the account, the bad account that we have before our God. And then John said, Jesus is the one. He identified Jesus as the Lord from heaven who is coming to his temple, who will be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It is Jesus who is the one who has come. He is the Lord from heaven. That's what John the Baptist said. Now, if John the Baptist's words were from heaven, he confirmed Jesus' great authority. If John the Baptist's message was from heaven, then Jesus had every right to kick people out of the temple, had every right to say, you are a bunch of thieves in the temple of God, to those who were there ripping people off. He had every right to do that. Now, the religious leaders had no desire to admit to John's words being true. They had even admitted to one another that they did not believe or trust themselves to John's words. They did not take his words to heart, nor did they act upon them. So the only other alternative was that John had made it all up. You see where we're going with this. Either John the Baptist is true and Jesus is the Lord from heaven, the King of Kings, the God of the Old Testament in human form, or John made up his message himself, either because John was mad as a hatter, or because he was a deceiver, or for some other nefarious reason. But you see, there were problems with that answer too. One of the problems was, they didn't mention this, but the fact that by Jesus' words and miracles, by his deeds and the life he lived, he confirmed everything that John the Baptist had said about him. He'd raised the dead. He cleansed lepers. Only God can do those things. He spoke as no man had ever spoken before. Even the Pharisees' disciples came back and told him that. They knew. So that was one problem with them saying that John the Baptist's message only came from human beings, that John made it up. In fact, the religious leaders themselves acknowledged it when Jesus was on the cross. Do you remember? They said he saved others, himself he cannot save. They admitted the miracles that Jesus had done. They just were not willing to deal with the consequences of the facts before them. This is a serious thing to think about. The religious leaders did not disbelieve in Jesus because there was no evidence. Get a grip of that. They had all the evidence before them, yet they refused to believe what was indisputable. This is the hardness of the human heart. This is why the Holy Spirit had to be sent to bring regeneration. Jesus told Nicodemus that unless he was born again, you Pharisee, you will never enter or understand the kingdom of God. So entrenched is our love of our sin, so entrenched is our unbelief that this is where each one of us would be if it were not for the mercy of God in Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. This is really interesting stuff. This is very important. John's words were openly confirmed as true by the things that Jesus said and did. Any claim that Jesus was not a true prophet would have been seen as ridiculous. But getting to the problem that the religious leaders did admit was the fact that the people, everyone, received John and believed him to be a true prophet. And the people tended to be rather aggressive around Passover time, because it's a time where they remembered the release of their nation from Egypt many, many centuries before. It was a time where people thought about liberty from oppression. And at that time in Israel, the Romans were in charge. They were again oppressed by a foreign nation, and they were looking forward to one who would set them free from Roman oppression. They weren't all that concerned about their sin, but they were concerned about Roman oppression. See, they were liberation theologians, only 2,000 years before their time. They wanted economic, social, and political freedom. They may not have been all that interested about freedom from sin. So if they said that John was not a true prophet, that will wreck the party, because they thought John the Baptist was heralding this one who would get rid of the Romans. They were afraid of being beaten up by the people they were supposed to be leading. The people believed John the Baptist was a prophet. So what would they do? They couldn't say John's baptism was from heaven, because that will confirm everything that Jesus had done as being one sent from God and being God himself. They couldn't say from human origin, because they get thumped by the people who believed and hoped that the Romans will soon be sent packing. They took the coward's way out. They said they did not know. This was a lie. As I said before, they were not unintelligent. These men often understood Jesus' meaning far better than the disciples did themselves. They knew that John's authority came from heaven. They knew who Jesus is. They just did not want to trust or obey him. They even thought that they could get rid of him by killing him. Jesus told a parable just after this where he lays it out for them. The vine owner is God, the vine dressers are the Pharisees. They kill the owner's son, thinking that they can get it all for themselves. And they knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. They thought they could kill him somehow. Their unbelief was their great sin, and it was revealed in their wickedness and in their weakness. You see, unbelief isn't a sign of strength. Mr. Dawkins might think it otherwise, but unbelief is a sign of our weakness and our sin. Paul says that we are dead in our trespasses and sins until Christ make us alive. That's why the Lord Jesus had to come. We couldn't self-reform. We couldn't fix it by our religiousness, because if we could, the Pharisees would be fine. But they weren't. We need God to act on our behalf, and he has. He sent his son. We need to trust this Lord Jesus. And it's only the Spirit of God who will bring us to repentance and faith. We are utterly dependent on our Maker and his good intention toward humanity. And again, Christmas is just 2 months in the past. It was a message of goodwill to men from God that this Saviour was born. There was a Pharisee who in every way was like these religious leaders. He was very smart, but he was also very angry with the Lord Jesus. And he did everything he could to harm Jesus' disciples. This Pharisee was heading to judgment in his sin, but God showed him mercy. While he was still weak and full of hatred, Jesus himself confronted him as he was going to Damascus. God changed Saul's heart and mind and made him Paul. Why? Simply because our Lord Jesus chose to do it. And in his great mercy to the worst of sinners, he made Saul into Paul. And it's from Paul we hear much of this grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, are you trusting the Lord Jesus today? Is he your Lord? Do you trust him as your Saviour? If so, it is simply because God was pleased to show you mercy. Your happy condition, and it is a happy condition, to have your sins forgiven, to be peace with God, is a great thing. It's only due to the love and free choice of our God in Christ. Are you someone who is still opposed to Jesus? There's no middle place. Either you say that he is the Lord from heaven, or that he's a lunatic or a liar. So, do you still oppose the Lord Jesus? Someone who refuses to trust him? If so, you are in grave danger. Your sin will take you in judgment, and without Christ, you will have no hope. Our Lord Jesus says, come to him. Call on him today. He is merciful. He has lived and died and risen again to save those who are lost. So all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So please call on him while there is yet time. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its clarity. We thank you for your merciful intention in sending it into the world. Because there would be no need for your book if you intended simply to judge. Your book gives us your will for our salvation. So we ask, Lord, that you would encourage the hearts of all those who are here who trust you, assure them of your love in the Lord Jesus, and move us all, we pray, to tell others of this great mercy from you. We pray for those who do not yet trust you, that you would turn their hearts today, that you'll draw them to yourself by your Holy Spirit, so that they would trust you for the salvation of their souls, for the forgiveness of their sins. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have one psalm to sing, and this one is Psalm 82. Psalm 82 is about those people who were gods. In other words, important people, but they were using their important responsibilities badly.